Welcome to the Perspectives with Catherine Toon podcast.
All right, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good middle of the night, wherever you are. I speak goodness towards you. So we're going to talk today about being okay in the midst of not okay. You know, there's a lot of not okay out there. And you know, it's true. God agrees with your not okay, by the way. You know, he's the one that's redeeming all things. And he actually knows the full extent and the implications of every hit you've taken, every hit that humanity has taken. You know, he loves his kids, and love looks like love. Love looks like valuing the very best, even above all that we can think, ask, hope, or believe for us. And so he knows where there's been an antithesis to that. He knows the full implications of everything that has hit his kids from ever since we were his kids. He knows actually even more than we do. And it matters. And so, you know, when things are not okay, and, you know, I don't need to list out all the not okays in the world and the not okays in your life. And, you know, I hear so many of your stories and I'm like, yeah, that's not okay. That is not okay. And that's true. But given the fact that we live in a fallen world where horrible things happen, to us, and then we do horrible things. It's just, sin is a problem. It's a very real problem. The fallenness of the world is a problem. The fallenness that we've embraced as a false identity and acting out of that in ways of being that are harmful to ourselves and others is not okay. And so how can we be okay in the midst of not okay? And so this is going to be very practical and then also inspirational. I have a lot of scriptures just to help bathe you, you know, when your soul is saying, I'm not okay. And this is to help you with that or to help someone you love. So make sure you share this with someone who needs it. People are really hurting, and that's valid and that's true. And they're really not okay. And, you know, and this is not one of those cases where we're going to put on church face and we're going to act okay when we're not okay. I mean, honestly, one of my pet peeves is when I say, you know, how are you doing? I actually mean it. I mean, I you know, if I'm going talking to you in passing, I probably don't need to have the full implications of everything that you're going through. But it's like, you know, well, there's some areas that I'm struggling with, but I know it will be okay. That's actually an honest answer, but we're not looking for a church face where we just, everything's, I'm blessed and highly favored. Well, yes, we know you're that. How is that walking itself out experientially in your life? Because we're supposed to be here for one another and we're supposed to genuinely care for people. And so, we're not called to be fake. And then also, we're not also called to vomit on people. But we can also say, you know what, I'm struggling in some areas, but thank you for asking. And you can say that. And that would be honest. Yeah, that's okay. So what do we do when we're not okay in the midst of these things? And the first thing I'm going to put when something hits you or maybe it's like past stuff. You know, for me, I had a lot of trauma growing up. And I ran. And I didn't run, into drugs or all sorts of things. I actually ran into medicine. So I was so busy with that. And so, and honestly, when I started to slow down, that's when I started having problems, but they were actually genuine problems. They were coming up. So I was basically medicating with my vocation and that is better than shooting drugs. Okay. There's more constructive ways to deal with things, but ultimately we're going to have to deal with things. So sometimes the not okay is like my past is catching up with me. I've been traumatized and I've been bearing it. Now it's coming back and this is hard. So I'm really not okay with this. Or maybe it's something in a family member or illness or whatever. You know the things. I don't have to outline them to you. So what do we do? Let me give you some practical, like real helps. Like this is not La La Land church face help. This is actually real, where the rubber meets the road. Okay. So the first thing I'm going to tell you, and this is not going to be a shocker, but it actually, in its essence, as we grapple with it, is actually going to be what's going to put you over. And that is, we need to retreat back to God. In other words, when we've taken a hit, you know, God is eternal. And he knew this was coming. He didn't approve of it. He doesn't approve of this stuff. But he has given the human race free will so that we can make fallen choices towards one another, and crap happens. And we, being in a form, in a fallen world, crap happens. So how are we going to handle it? We need to retreat back to the one who is all good, all love, and is the one that can get us out of these messes, the one that can heal trauma, the one that can heal us and deliver us and help us and sustain us and be our strength and be our comfort in the midst of real grief, right? God knows grief more than we do. Yeah, he's had to have his watch his kids go through all this hellhole that we insisted on subjecting ourselves to by virtue of our choices or others' choices. And, you know, he knows grief. He's born it, and he's there to bear your grief. So let's talk about retreating to God. I'm going to read some scriptures, and I want you to give yourself permission to let them bathe you, to let them cleanse you, to let them wash you with the water of his word, just to be that cleansing, healing engagement with the one who really cares and who knows more. You know, we can share and we can have our support groups, and those are all great. Okay. But no one knows more than God what you're going through. Okay. Psalm 9 through 10, Passion Translation. It says, all who are oppressed may come to Yahweh. That's the Hebrew term of God, if that's not familiar to you, as a high shelter in a time of trouble, a perfect hiding place. For everyone who knows your wonderful name keeps putting their trust in you. They can count on you for help no matter what. Oh Lord, you will never, no, never neglect those who come to you. So retreat back to God, even if it's your fault. I mean, like if it was your sin and you're like, oh, these are the repercussions of my sin. You know, God is not the God that says, well, you made your bed, lie in it. No, that is a fallen thing. He said, you made your bed. Okay, let me come into that bed and help you the hell out of your bed. Okay, it's called repentance. Okay, Psalm 46, 1-3, Passion Translation. For the pure and shining, let me skip down to this because this has a big intro here. It says, God, you're such a safe and powerful place to find refuge. You're a proven help in time of trouble, more than enough and always available whenever I need you. So we will never fear, even if every structure of support were to crumble away. We will not fear even when the earth quakes and shakes, moving mountains and casting them into the sea, for the raging roar of stormy winds and crashing waves cannot erode our faith in you. Now, let me just help you with that. How many of you, some calamity happens and you start freaking out? Okay. So, you know, despite yourself. Okay. Okay. Raise your hand. Okay. Be honest. Okay. So how do we get there from here? This does not mean that you don't feel fear. Okay. Because something's happening. You know, if you're feeling no fear at all, that's completely supernatural. Yay, you. But you know it's not you. And you know it's not your faith. How do we access this? It's by the faith of Christ. So even while you're feeling fear, you go to Christ, right? And you ride on his faith. So this is not for you to muster up, you know, times particularly, you know, for me as a mom, man, you mess with me. Okay, it'll be all right. You mess with my kids. Okay, that's when I'm really going to have a hard time. And that's when I really need to pull on the grace of God and the faith of God for that. So I retreat back to him in my fear, okay, and use his faith because he's there to help. Okay, so no condemnation. This is not about you mustering something up. We don't need any more mustering it up. Okay, let's just not, you know, this is kind of where the Word of Faith movement, which was so great, by the way, I'm so grateful. But this is where it meant amok because we're looking to our faith and it's like, I'm so wiped out. Like, seriously? Okay, it's his faith. Okay. And we, because we are one with him, we partake of his faith. Isn't that good news? Yay. Gospelish. So good news. Let's go to Psalm 91, 1 through 4, Passion Translation. When you abide under the shadow of Shaddai. Now, Shaddai, you guys, a lot of you are familiar with that, is taken from the Hebrew root word with many expressive meanings. It could mean God of the mountain, God the destroyer of enemies, God the self-sufficient one, God the nurturer of babies, or God the almighty. So this is, many people have translated that God the many-breasted one who nourishes, okay, all of those, there's all those meanings. But it breathes the unlimited grace and mercy of God, the unlimited provision, the unlimited strength. Okay, so grab a hold of all those meanings because God was expressed as who he was in names that were given to him, particularly to the Hebrew people. When you abide under the shadow of Shaddai, you are hidden in the strength of God, the God Most High. He's the hope that holds me together and the stronghold to shelter me, the only God for me and my great confidence. You know, when you have a stronghold, we've heard of a stronghold. A lot of times we've heard of them in terms of negative things. Like this is like a trap and I just can't get out of it. It's a stronghold because it has a stronghold on me. Addictions will be that way or just really strong rooted, fallen ways of being that you just have such a hard time. Okay, so that's a stronghold there. But God can be a stronghold of peace, a stronghold of joy, a stronghold of protection. This is where you run to him. A stronghold, just in a military fashion, was where you encamped out to weather against an onslaught of an army that came to attack. And so this was a stronghold, and you'd camp out and you would endure the attacks of a military onslaught. Okay, so all of those meanings. So he's the hope that holds me and the stronghold to shelter me for the only God for me and my great confidence. He will rescue you from every hidden trap of the enemy. Haven't we all been snared? And he will protect you from false accusation. Isn't that nice? And any deadly curse. Why? He redeemed us from the curse. Okay, he became a curse so that we would be redeemed. And from every curse, his massive arms, you can run under his covering of majesty and hide. His arms of faithfulness, or other translations say his wings, you can come under his wings, and that brings that shelter of protection, are a shield keeping you from harm. And you know, there are things, let me just help you. If you're not really clear that this is a thing for you, let me just ask you an honest question to ask yourself. And please feel free to comment. Let me put it this way. Where have you come through that you should be dead by now? What have you weathered that you should be utterly insane right now? Okay. All right. Let me just help you. Whatever should have taken you out but didn't. And whatever should have brought you to insanity, but didn't, and you're still here and kicking and retreating to the Lord, ding, to ding, ding, God brought you through. It was supernatural. There are things I look back and I'm like, I have no idea how I got through that. I mean, just even long periods of time, just kind of healing for my soul and things, because I kept on retreating and kept on retreating and kept on retreating and kept on retreating and retreated when I didn't know I was retreating. There are things that honestly I did and I had no idea that I was following the Lord. I wasn't even looking towards the Lord at that time in my life, but it was him ministering to me. Even when you didn't know him, he was pursuing you and protecting you and helping, keeping you from total destruction and all of that. So yes, you have experienced that. I'll just say that. Psalm 68:19. What a glorious God. He gives us salvation over and over. Then he carries our burdens. And the salvation over and over, if you have an understanding of salvation, that it's that work that's completed in you, that he's working from the inside out. And then he's also saving you from sort of external things as well. All of these things. So this is not about whether I'm going to heaven or hell. It's about how much heaven or hell you're experiencing in your life right now. Okay. And so that's a salvation you get over and over. Man, have there been hellish things when I was growing up? Yes. Were there hellish things when I was adult? Yes. And you know what? He has saved me over and over, right? He saved me from going on insane, even in my own mind, right? Okay. And he's done that for you as well. Let's go to Hebrews 13:5. This is happens to be the Amplified Classic, just in case you were saying, uh-huh, she's always going to use a passion. No, no, no. We switch around because there's some that really bring a meaning that's helpful, particularly for a particular topic. And this is the Amplified Classic. It says, "For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down, relax my hold on you. Assuredly not." Okay. So when the way, the truth, and life says, verily, verily, truly, truly, you know, that is like out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. It's like, yeah, I mean it. No, I really mean it. No, I really mean it, right? He will not leave you or forsake you. And if you're not seeing him, it's you're not seeing him because he's there and he does not abandon his kids. And you're his kid. So there's no loopholes here. This is because of who he is. He is love and he's faithful because he's love. So ding to ding ding. Case closed. 1 Peter 5:7, this is the Amplified Classic. It says, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Boy, he knows every detail, right? He knows every nuance more than you do. Okay. So you can cast, it's like, God, this is too much for me. This is too much for me. And you're right, because you were never intended to carry anything by yourself. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I am meek, humble, lowly of heart, and I will give you rest for your souls. Right. So this is Matthew 11:28. Okay. And so this is where you're taking that, you're yoking in with God. This is too much. Let him carry the burden with you. You do nothing by yourself in your own strength. That will crush you. You are just not, you know, us in the Western world, we tend to be so dang independent. That's just foolishness. It is foolishness and it's pride. And so knock it off, because it's not going to work for you. Give it up already. Realize that you need a God. You cannot do this by yourself. And he's there always to help you carry. And he'll do 99.99% of the burden. And you can do 0.001% of the burden. And that's why he could say his yoke is easy, his burden is light, because there's grace in it, right? It says, the context is, be well-balanced, temperate, sober of mind, be vigilant, cautious at all times, for the enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a roaring lion in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize and devour. That is the context of that verse. Now, I'm not going to get the debate of what the devil is. We know there's demonic stuff. However you want to define that, it really doesn't matter. Because ultimately, you're experiencing something where there's terror, where there's panic, where there's incredible oppression, where you're just heavy, where there's depression, all of these things, and it's sucking the life out of you and terrorizing you. And if that is you, there's a demonic element in there, and you don't have to carry that to take that. And one of the ways that you don't do that is that you've cast your care on him. You know, this is too big for me. You know, I tell myself of these things, you know, this is too big for me. I have no idea how it's going to turn out, but one way or the other, it's going to turn out good. That's what I just tell myself over and over. You know what? It really does turn out that way. I don't know how God does these things. I have no idea. I'm not God. I don't have to know. That there is delight in not having to know. I don't have to figure it out. Thank God. I don't have to be my own God. Thank God. All right. But one way or the other, it's going to turn out good. And you can say that. And, you know, we all have had disappointments. We've all felt like, well, God, you know, I prayed and someone died. You know, those are issues that we need to deal with. I prayed and someone got hurt, or I got hurt, or whatever. Understand it. Okay. So meet God there. Talk to God about that, because he's there to help you in that place where it does feel like he's let you down. Okay. Or he wasn't there. So that's my first suggestion. How to be okay when things are not okay. Retreat back to God. It is too much for you. Okay. Number two, take strength from community. We were never intended to be lone rangers. We're not, you know, it's really good. I'm always asking people, so what is God saying? And sometimes they get really irritated with me because I say the same thing. Well, because bottom line is, I'm not going to have anything more brilliant than what God is saying. The other thing is, this is about you take advantage. If you're going to have pain, okay, take advantage of your pain to get gain. And one of those things is when you retreat to God, your connection with him starts to develop and blossom. Okay. And so you're able to hear what he has to say to you. Okay. And really develop that. And if you're cultivating that in the really hard times, you'll have it in the good times, and you'll be prepared when other stupid crap happens. Okay. But we're called to not only go directly to God, but also have community, because God also moves through people. We get everything. Aren't we blessed? We are, and highly favored. By the way, just don't use that as a plastic face. Okay. Like, okay. All right. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 4:9-12. This is the Amplified Bible. It says, two are better than one because they have a more satisfying return on their labor. For if either of them fails, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and does not have another to lift him up. Again, if two lie down together, then they keep warm, but how can one be warm alone? Don't take that in a perverted way, please. And though one can empower him who is alone, two can resist him. And though one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. A three-cord strand is not easily broken. So what are the three cords? That's you, that's the person you're partnering with, and that's Jesus. Okay. And you stand together. This is why we stand together for one another. This is no, well, I'm all on my own. I'm going to do it by myself. That is foolish. And we need to knock that off, because we were made for community. And a lot of times when we've been hurt by people, you know, I hear a lot of people, when you've been hurt in the church or hurt just in relationships, you know, they just kind of wander off and are a loner. Well, you know what? I understand that. And it's okay for a time. But you need to start to reach out and get back into community, because the enemy will pick you off. He really will. You are weak by yourself. We're not intended to be alone. You have to learn, if you've dealt with toxic relationships, you need to be healed from that so that you're not reaching out to other toxic relationships. Okay. So there are such a thing as healthy relationships. It is a thing. And you can get there from here. Why? When you're retreating back to God, he's going to lead you and guide you where to go and help heal you. Galatians 6:2. Love empowers us to fulfill the law of the anointed one as we carry each other's troubles. So, quick quiz. What do you think the law of the anointed one is? I'll answer the question, because I hate it when people tell me what I'm thinking. Okay, just in your own mind. So if you didn't get it, just love yourself. You're good. It's the law of love. We talk about it we are under the law of love, the four laws, the law of love, the law of freedom, the law of the spirit, the law of Christ Jesus. Guess what? They're all the law of love. Okay, that's what you're under. So this empowers us to fulfill The law of love when we carry one another's troubles. Now, don't take responsibility for it. Don't carry the weight of the person, but carry the burden with, right? And stand. And it really helps. Sometimes when you're in a trouble and people are interceding for you, man, you can feel those prayers just lift you up and empower you. Let's go to Matthew 8, 19 through 20. And I am back to the Passion Translation. Just don't peg me in a hole. I'm teasing you. It says, again, I give you an eternal truth. This is Jesus talking to disciples. If two of you agree to ask God for something in a symphony of prayer, my heavenly Father will do it for you. For wherever two or three come together in honor of my name, I am right there with them. So this is us gathering in one accord, in agreement, to stand for something. That's a godly thing. God's not going to give you something high, you know, let me rule the world. Well, okay, just knock it off, right? You know, this is for something godly, something good for you. Or, you know, don't stand with me so I can steal someone else's spouse. Okay, no, he's not going to do that. It's not going to, all right? You know, it's a holy thing that you can handle. Okay. Sometimes you need to, you know, God, give me $1 million. Listen, when you can learn to handle 1,000, God will get you 1,000 and then he'll move you up. So, you know, sometimes we just get way above our pay grade. Okay. And he does treat us in terms of answering prayer at the level of maturity that we're at. Let's go to Hebrews 10, 23 through 25. And this is also Passion Translation. It says, so now wrap your heart tightly around the hope that lives within us, knowing that God always keeps his promises. Hallelujah. Discover creative ways to encourage others and to motivate them towards acts of compassion, doing beautiful works as expressions of love. This is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together, as some have formed the habit of doing. In fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to urge and encourage each other onward as we anticipate that day dawning. Now, the day dawning, that's a little complicated, but it was talking about a day of judgment, which I believe was fulfilled in AD 70. Okay. There was something big that was happening that was turning the world on its ear. And so the more traumatic things are, the more you gather together. Okay. Because there's strength together. We can be strength for one another. Okay. So number three, in terms of practical advice, allow yourself to have a problem. Okay. Be truthful to yourself. And I kind of couch this, let's not put on church face. So, you know, when I say, how are you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored. Well, that is actually an eternal truth. That is true. But how are you really doing? How's that blessing and favor working out for you? Oh, you're suffering with panic attacks. Okay, let's talk about that, because you are blessed and highly favored, but you need to get there from here. In that area of your panic attacks, or in the area of your financial lack, or in the area of a medical trauma, or in the relational fallout, whatever's going on, okay? Allow yourself to have a problem to yourself. Sometimes we particularly, I find this more in men, and I don't mean to overpeg the guys, but just in our culture where the guys have to be kind of macho and they're not allowed to cry and you cry baby and all this kind of stuff, they're not allowed to have feelings. They can get really disconnected from their feelings. So they get over-focused maybe on sex, because that's how they can kind of connect and still have it be socially acceptable in some areas, but really not in touch with their feelings. And the truth is, you live where your feelings are. That where your heart is, that's where you live. That's where you're fully alive. In multiple dimensions. And so allow yourself to have a problem. Be truthful with yourself. Be truthful with others. Not everybody needs to know your business. Okay. I'm just saying, with people that are trustworthy, you know, you can share stuff, you know, and you don't share everything. Listen, don't go on Facebook and vomit all your problems. Okay. It's not everybody's business. Okay. Just what wisdom there, but, share that you actually have a problem. You know, I'm struggling on some things. I'm working it out. You know, if you wouldn't mind praying with me, I don't feel really comfortable sharing the details, but if you would just pray as God leads, that would be great. You can say that, and that's a safe way, but you're not pretending like you're problem free. Okay. And it's not a shame to have a problem. it's called, let me think. Oh, being a human being. Oh, yeah. We all got problems. I got problems. Pray for me. Right? Don't allow shame to cause you to hide. Okay. So sometimes in our problems, in our where I'm not okay, and sometimes these are things that we do to ourselves, self-destructive habits, choices that we've made that we do feel ashamed of. Okay. So we need to come clean with God. Like, you know, the truth is he already knows, but sometimes we need to come clean to him because it's a relationship. And he knows, and he's like, just so you're like, he's loving you despite this horrible thing that you did, right? Or horrible thing that was done to you. And he's like, I don't see you any different. There is no shame in you, honey. Let me clean that off. Let me strip that off. And then also trustworthy people that you can come clean with. So James 5:16, this is the Amplified Classic Bible. It says, confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins. We all got them. Okay. And pray also for one another that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. And sometimes this is only going to come through another person that's praying on your behalf. So pray yourself and then receive prayer and then pray for other people. Wow. We're all better together. Just a couple other pointers. When you're going through a I'm not okay time, okay, you know, take care of your health. This is really practical. Like, eat decently, hydrate, sleep, don't drink it away or shoot it up or whatever. Okay. Get sleep, give it a rest, get some time away, take care of your health. Even if you have to kind of go through the motions, because your body is trying to support everything you're going through. So give yourself that support out of faith in love, because you love yourself. And you're worth taking care of. And other people are probably counting on you too. Take care of yourself. It is important. Okay. Even if you're not feeling it. Okay. Just do it. Because there will be a time when you'll get past it. And you don't want to have all these health implications because you're harming yourself because you're not okay. Okay. Does that make sense? If you're not safe, find someone. If you're like, you're not safe in terms of you want to hurt yourself. If you're cutting or you want to commit suicide, ding, 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 ding. Find someone. It matters. Okay. Find someone trustworthy. Seek professional help if you need it. You know, there are people that this is what they do. They're anointed to do it. And you know, there's no shame in that. That is an investment that will always pay off. Okay. But be led. Not every help is the same for you. And God has specific people that he wants to connect you with that'll be conduits of help for you. So be led. And if you're with someone and you just don't have peace about it, well, don't force, even if they're a Christian counselor or whatever, don't force yourself. Let peace be the umpire of your heart, sifting and deciding all things, because in the midst of not being okay, God's got you. You are okay because you are in him, and things will be okay. Therefore, you're okay. Even if it's by faith, for now, it is going to be okay. Love you guys. I hope this was helpful. Please share this with someone. Get this word out. People need this. Okay. I love you guys. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Perspectives with Catherine Toon. For additional information and resources, please visit catherinetoon.com.